Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to If These Things Be So. My name is Rose Hart, and I will be your moderator, your tour guide, your host, as we explore some of the concepts in the Christian Bible. Many times people are not sure, many times people don't know, many times people are unaware, and it is the desire of this program to begin to shed light on very familiar Christian topics in the Bible and various aspects in the world in which we live. We live in a world full of anger, hate, misery, trouble, sorrow, and even though that's part of our life and our world, there are ways to overcome and to not be living in fear and sadness and doubt all the time. And so we're trying to ease some of those things and ease some of those questions that come up in everybody's life one time or another. And as you know, this is an open-air program. We would like listener participation. We all have comments. We all have questions. We all have ideas. We listen to the news. We listen to media. We're involved in social media, and there are so many issues that are not just out there. They affect ourselves. They affect our family. They affect our friends, our coworkers, people we know, people we associate with. And we need to be aware of why some things happen and how we can live after things like this happen. Sometimes we hear not nice things, things that are cruel, harsh, inhumane. And then we have the other side where we have niceness and joy and happiness. And that's kind of like what we talked about last week. This is a great world and it's a horrible world at the same time. And we can't escape one or the other. We have to experience, and we are going to experience both. Maybe not to the same degree as others. Maybe your tragedy is worse than mine. Maybe my happiness is not as good as your happiness. But we still should be able to find a balance in our lives that we can have stability and equilibrium as we travel and journey through this physical world. So if you call in this morning and you're listening via phone, just dial 1 if you would like to offer a comment, a question, or make a statement. And if not, if you're listening via internet, just dial 657-383-0361, or you can even text 319-471-3074. And since this program is an open-air program, there is no set time that you can call or text. Whenever you feel the desire or the need that you want to express yourself, dial in anytime. The floor will be yours. So again, we would like to thank you for giving some of your time. As a matter of fact, we have a caller right now. Caller, thank you for calling in. Will you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Well, actually, Rose, this is Donnie, your wonderful producer. But good morning. I just wanted to bring up a situation that I think the listeners, if they're not aware of, would like to hear this story and then, of course, get your perspective on it. But recently, the gentleman's name is Josh Duggar, And he is a member of the Duggar family that has a television show. I believe it's called 19 Plus One More or something like that. Pardon me for not knowing the title of the show. But it has been reported that Josh Duggar, when he was 12 years old, I believe it was 12 years ago or so, that as a teenager he has admitted to molesting some young children, including his sister and some family friends. And this came about lately, and what's taken place is that there's a lot of going back and forth between conservatives, liberals, Christians, non-Christians, different Christians within Christianity. You know, there's a lot of opinion on this. And as it turns out, what he admitted to was that he did commit these acts. His parents, supposedly they filed a police report. During everything that shook down, what took place is that all involved got some form of therapy. It's also been reported that he got a strong lecturing, but he did not face any legal action, so to say, as far as having gone to trial for his crimes against these young girls. And so I don't have all the particulars on it. And of course, you know, you never will. There's a lot of things. But what's drawing a lot of attention is the fact that this family had their lives on television. They've had a lot of children. They live according to the Bible. They put themselves out there as this pure, and as I like to call them, beacon of light family. And the mother has even received Mother of the Year awards, and that award was presented to her by someone who has since been accused of, you know, adultery or something along those lines. The gentleman that gave Josh the lecturing about his molestation is someone who has since been incarcerated for child pornography. And so there's a lot of debate over this topic because we have this so-called, you know, ideal Christian family who's on television talking about their values, their morals, how God influences them, their behavior, and how they go about living every day. And then to have something like this come out, it's really polarizing the nation and anybody who's willing to speak on the subject. So why I bring this up is I just wanted to put it out there for you to discuss here on the show today, your thoughts on that, how it relates to the message that you have delivered in your many broadcasts to this point, and then just give us your personal opinion and perspective based on your faith and what you understand from your research and learning and studying of the Bible, and how you as a Christian feel about this story, and it just give us your general thoughts. Was that a pretty long, drawn-out question slash request? I apologize for that, but I thought it would be nice for folks to hear what you have to say on this today.
Well, I thank you for that, and no, it wasn't long and drawn-out. It brought maybe a lot of viewers and listeners up to date. And it's like, where do I begin? Okay, I will give my perspective based on what the Bible has to say before I give my personal, because my personal is going to be thrown out when it comes to the Bible. But there is an issue in the Bible, and everybody's familiar with it, Christians, non-Christians, liberals, all the categories of people you said. And there was an incident with a woman caught in the very act of adultery, the very act. And their law, according to that, at that time, was they are to be stoned to death to set an example. Now, they brought the woman, they dragged her out of the bed. They didn't bring the man, even though she was caught in adultery, but I'm sure not by herself. You can't be caught in the act of adultery by yourself. But the woman was brought, and she was put in the marketplace where everybody could see, and they were getting ready to throw stones because that's what their law said. But Jesus comes along and says, he who is without, meaning any sin, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, you cast the first stone. Everybody was in amazement. And from the oldest to the youngest to the oldest, they dropped their stones and walked away. So Jesus asked her, well, where are your accusers? And she responds, well, they're gone now. So Jesus says, well, now you go and sin no more. So there's a controversy. Did Jesus break the law? Because the law ordered her to be stoned. Or did he show compassion on her? He told her, don't sin no more, but the Bible never says one way or the other if she did or didn't. And I say that to say, you know, everybody has an opinion. And yes, he did wrong. He did right to admit, finally. He did wrong doing what he did in whatever denomination. We are to forgive that person. The whole Bible talks about forgiving, forgiveness, all of that, treat others the way you want to be treated, all of that. And if we say we're Christians, we have to at least respect that and honor that. Now on the other end of the spectrum, he performed a criminal act. He should receive some type of consequence for his act. And the law says that. I don't think there's a statute of limitations on things of that nature. You know, he did what he did. Yes, we should forgive him, but there's still consequence for your actions. You know, we have plenty of Christian criminals in jail. Are we going to let them go because they say they're Christian? No. They have to pay for their offenses. And there's not one family in America that doesn't have some kind of something that wasn't right. We all have skeletons in our closet. Hopefully not a lot, but we all do. And you don't have to be a Christian to forgive someone. You don't have to have an affiliation with any church, any deity, or any of that, any spiritual, any kind of affiliation to forgive someone. So, yes, he should be forgiven, but, yes, also he should bear the penalty of his crime because he violated people. He violated their rights. He violated their spaces. He violated their life. And you must pay. And I don't know how the law is going to respond if there is, in fact, a statute of limitations or not. But I feel that he should pay the consequences for his sin, even though he has been asking his deity for forgiveness, and maybe even his family members. But see, on a personal note also, it's hard to forgive. It's hard. Especially when you've been violated. And I know everyone has their opinion. Everyone has what they think is right. The Bible is the standard. Jesus never told anybody not to go to jail if they commit crimes. He told them, don't do it. Live right. Be law-abiding. He tells us in his word, we should obey the laws of the land. He comes first, but we should obey the laws of the land, and he broke the law, and he should pay consequence. Even though he's forgiven, even though he's loved, even though God will forgive him, and hopefully people will as well in time, sometimes forgiveness takes time. But the law should step in and make provisions for the consequences of that crime. And that's basically, in a nutshell, without taking too much time to respond to this situation. And I invite others to please call in and let us know your perspective. You may totally disagree with what I say, and you would be right. in your belief, in your opinion. We're not here to debate opinions. We're here to listen to them and study them because you may have a different perspective than I do. And that's the basis of this program, to talk about what Scripture says. We're not trying to convince you of what it says. We're just trying to share with you what it says. And you draw your own conclusion. Say this is your family, your brother, your uncle, your cousin. And this was done to your sister, your daughter, your mother, your aunt. How would you respond? You know, a lot of times people respond violently right away with no thought. You did this and pow, pow, pow. Hear it all the time. We see it all the time. So I invite your opinion, your perspective. And I hope, Donnie, that shed a little light in general based on personal opinion and basically what the Bible has to say.
Yes, it did. I mean, I appreciate the law of the land as well. I think that's one of the issues that's making this a hot topic today, you know, aside from the fact that young girls were, of course, violated and molested. I mean, that's just something that is not, it happens in everyday society. And as you pointed out, all families, all walks of life, all skin colors, all social economic classes, no one is free from its grip. But I think that what really struck a chord that I think is a good thing for the listeners is the fact that he should be forgiven. He should be excused based on God's law. But there is the law of the land that he should be held accountable in as well. And as you know, and as anyone else who's listening or even discusses this topic, we know that many people have committed the same crime that Josh Duggar has committed. And a lot of them have asked for forgiveness from God. They've prayed. They've never sinned again. But a lot of, I mean, well, I can't necessarily say they haven't. I'm just assuming that some people really have turned themselves around once they've committed said act, and they've worked very hard to not even tell a little white lie. But some of these people I'm referring to, they currently sit in institutions. They made a mistake once, which is the way people have categorized Josh Duggar. Well, he made this one mistake. Well, this is the one we're aware of. But a lot of people have made one mistake, committed one crime, and have never been given the opportunity to just be a human being again and actually be forgiven for the crime that they committed. And I think that's one of the reasons some folks are a little up in arms, because many are saying, hey, just forgive him. He admitted it. It's something that many people don't do. As a matter of fact, one individual compared his molesting of these children to Barack Obama, President Obama, in that Obama smoked marijuana when he was 12. He bragged about it as an adult and didn't resign or anything like that. This man molested children. He admitted it. He's apologized for it and asked for forgiveness. And he's a better person because he did this. So they were equating molestation to smoking a plant, which, of course, as you know by the Bible, is one of the plants that God gave humans dominion over for their consumption. Maybe not in the way that some consume it, but you know what I'm getting
That's
at.
True.
So, no, I think your way you broke it down was a good explanation and really appreciate it. Thank you.
I thank you so much. And just kind of, to conclude, I would like to reiterate that even though you are forgiven and should be forgiven, you still must pay the consequences. Sin always brings consequences. And we cannot lose sight of that. And yes, sometimes our laws are unfair. Sometimes they're unjust. Sometimes they apply to some and not to others. And we have to live with that. We don't have to agree. We don't have to like. But in the lawmaking decisions, that's the way it is. And yes, he should face the law, forgiven or not. See, and that's another reason why there's a separation between state and church. That's a big controversy. But the Bible goes so far as to say, you better obey the land, the laws of the land, obey them. And when you do not, you face consequences. When we don't obey God, we face consequences. So, yeah, you can forgive him till the cows come home. And I mean no disrespect. But he engaged in criminal activity. And as far as my understanding is, criminal activity is subject to law and jurisdiction and must be dealt with. And it's kind of like that simple. No matter your walk of life, no matter your belief, criminal, if you are a non-believer, a Christian within Christianity, a denomination, and you were violated, would it be so easy to forgive that person? And wouldn't you want, quote, quote, justice served? And that's how I would like to leave it, you know, put it in your hands. You know, we need to start walking in people's shoes. How things affect others, would it affect us the same way? Would we react the same way? Would we do the same things? Would we say the same things? You know, if that was my sister, my daughter, how would I feel? Would I be that compassionate? Or would I be out for blood? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves. And until we're in that situation, our thoughts and opinions might be subject to change. So I would like to leave you with that. And I still encourage our listeners to call in, and I thank you, Mr. Producer, for such an opening statement that we can continue to have an open forum where everyone is allowed to speak and voice their opinions. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
You know what? Back in the day, you may remember a famous sports figure by the name of Muhammad Ali. Remember him? He was considered the greatest boxer in the history of professional boxing, and that was in the heavyweight division. In short, he had about 61 or so fights, and he only lost 5 out of 61. I mean, undisputed, the record, 61 fights and only 5 losses, and then out of that, 37 of them were by knockout. That's something admirable. And, you know, he was a very confident and educated, talented individual, and he sometimes received nicknames, Louisville Lips, you know, the poet laureate of boxing, you know. He always said he was the greatest. But when he said that, he actually meant that he was the greatest boxer, but his God, Allah, was the greatest. He always, after his conversion, he always paid tribute to his supreme being. He took credit for none of his wins. He took credit for none of his greatness. He gave it all to his God. Now, how many Christians do that? Hey, I did this, man. I made a big old Wall Street. I bought this car. I got this job. I paid $1 million for this house. I. And even though he was cocky and he even told everybody that I will predict the round of my win, and most of the time be right, pretty much all the time he was right, he gave tribute to God. That is so cool. How many Christians do that? That someone is so dedicated to their God and they give all credit, honor, glory, due respect for their supreme being. And we have Christians that, blase. They believe in God, they say they do, but they don't follow the rules of God. They're ready to condemn and fight and just do whatever. And I'm not talking about when the time is needed to do these things. I'm just talking as an everyday way of life. They're mean, they're nasty, they're self-centered. So should we do that? And to continue on with Muhammad Ali, and this is a true story. During his prime, he took a trip. He had to take a flight somewhere or whatever, and he got on the plane. Of course, he sits first class. And the steward, walked where he was and said, it's time to fasten your seatbelt so we can take off. And so she proceeded to the back of the plane and let everybody know it's time to take off, button your seatbelt. And as she went forward again to make sure all this was done, she came back to Muhammad Ali, and he said, well, sir, I'm so glad you're on my flight. It's an honor to meet you, and it's a pleasure to serve you, but I need you to button your seatbelt so that I can inform the captain and we can take off. So he looked her dead in the eye as he was sitting and she was bending over. And she told him, Superman don't need no seatbelt. So she looked back at him and she kind of smiled. And she thought, that could be. But she told him, Superman may not need a belt. Also, Superman didn't need a plane. So when she said that the passengers began to laugh, and it made me think, wow, she was kind of cocky and had gall to talk to him like that. Maybe if that were me, I might have said, okay, whatever, Captain, let's go. But she took the time to tell him, to respond to him, basically, if you don't need a seatbelt and you're Superman, you don't need a plane either. So he was very humble and compliant, fastened his seatbelt and ready to go. How many times are we humble and compliant? What do we do that's humbling and in compliance to anybody? So it just makes me think, we're not here to talk about how great and awesome we are. We're not superheroes. We're not super people. We don't have superpowers. But that we're here to reflect the one that we believe is the superhero, is the superpower. And how awesome it is to be able to share him with others. And I use Muhammad Ali as an example because he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to talk to people. He wasn't ashamed. He stood up for what he believed. It was during the Vietnam War time. Some of you youngsters out there may not fully be aware, but he said, send me to jail. I'm not going to fight these people. They never called me names. They never were discriminatory against me. They never kicked me. They never lynched me. They never did anything to me. Why should I go and fight for and kill them? Why? And these are things that we need to think about. We really need to make a commitment to what we believe. Make a commitment and a firm stand. It may cost you your life. It may cost you prison time. It may cost you ostracism from your family. But if you believe what you believe, stand up for it. You may not be right, but believe it and stand true to it until for sure you know. Be convinced, fully convinced in your own mind. And I would still like to invite you to make a comment. I know you have things on your mind, you know, and we're just here to share with you what the Bible has to say. Just pass along information. You know, we don't know everything. I know I don't know everything. I wish I did. But then I would be God. That would be cool, or would it? See, God has to make decisions that we may not like. And see, we like to be popular and well-liked and seen in a good in good standing with everybody. And that's another issue, too. You know, a lot of times we say, I don't care what they think. I don't care what people think about me. I'm not here to please them. And that's true. But on the other hand, you do want people to care about what you think and how you act. You do want people to see you as credible. You do want people to see you as honest. You do want people to see you as upright, caring, giving, sharing. And so you have to find a balance. Life always requires a balance. Not all good, not all bad, but get that even balance, tipping the scales pretty evenly. I don't want anybody to think I'm a thief. I don't want anybody to think I'm a liar. Every time I open my mouth, it's a lie, and I can't be believed. Do you? Supposing you work at a bank, and people think you're a thief. How long will your job last? If someone thinks you're credible and reliable and a good accountant and good with numbers and very honest, what do you think about that? People would really, really be pleased and think a quality characteristic you possess. You know, and in order to reach people, we have to be able to have that persona where you can be trusted, where people may think you're honest, even when they don't actually know you. You know, I'm hoping that when people hear my name, oh, yeah, I know her. She loves the Lord. She's honest. She's good. She's true. She's helpful. Who doesn't want that? Nobody wants a dirty name. Nobody wants a dirty reputation on purpose. Even thieves want to be considered good thieves. They don't want to be considered a sloppy thief. Hey, I'm good at what I do. I never get caught. I do everything just right. So everybody wants to be seen in a good light. But it has to be earned. You can't have a sloppy life and then expect people to think highly of you. And it's our job to share with one another, whatever discipline it may be. What if you have a teacher that doesn't know his subject matter in school? You have a boss or supervisor that doesn't know the job as well as you do. You won't think as highly of that person in that position as you ought. And so that's why I am so grateful to my producer, Donnie Jackson, and the Black Squirrels Network, because he has given me the opportunity to share with you from the pages of Scripture. And that's a great honor and a great privilege for me. And so I need to know that, and you need to know that, we're going to encounter people everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say. We're going to encounter people, And we need to meet people where they are. You know, the Bible doesn't tell the world to go to church. Wouldn't that be a kick? The Bible tells believers to go to church services and to honor and respect others and to gain knowledge of Scripture so that we can go out and tell those who don't know. That is our job and that is our duty. How can you tell a person about the God you believe in and you don't know one thing about him? Non-believers know more than you do. That's a sad state of affairs. Because there are many, many, many non-believers who know Scripture better than Christians. And I've seen it personally, so I know. So maybe you haven't yet. Maybe you haven't encountered it yet. But it's out there. And we need to be aware. And we need to not have any barriers of any sort, race, color, creed, gender, religious beliefs, socioeconomic backgrounds, none of that should be a hindrance or a barrier, education or any of that. There should be no barriers when we're trying to talk Scripture. Because if you believe Scripture, God said that he sent his son into the whole world. He didn't exclude anybody. And that's why Christianity is not an exclusive club. You know, there's a lot of exclusive country clubs around. And certain people cannot even step on the sidewalk near there. That's a sad state of affairs. And God makes a claim that all are welcome, all have an invitation. And it's that we need to care about people. We need to let them see and know and genuinely believe that we are genuine people. How is it going to be made known that Josh Duggar has Christians believe in him or anybody believe in him when the lynch mob is called or you're only good partway? You know, when we do something wrong, we're labeled. And in some cases, rightly so. In some cases, rightly so. But we need to come as a human race to be able to look beyond people's faults when there's a genuine repentance, when there's a genuine sorrow, when there's a genuine effort to not do what you did before. When you can see genuine, it's very, and you can see when people are fake, you know when people lie, you know when people are not telling the truth. We can see it. And so we need to be aware of these things all the time. That's why the Bible says we need to be ready for battle all the time, and we need to keep armor on. And you know what soldier has armor on 24 hours of the day? What one? But we're told to be ready because you never know what you're going to encounter or who you are going to encounter. And you may not always have the right response. You may not always have the right Bible answer. You may not be able to quote Scripture and know where to go. But you should have an idea, a genuine, real idea of what Scripture requires. You know, part of being able to communicate with others, we need to be persistent. We need to keep at it, even when we're tired, even when we just cannot go another step. You know, Jesus always had time for others. He always had time for others, even when he was tired. Remember the story in John 4 of the woman at the well? There was a lot of barriers for him to overcome, and he was so tired. he told his disciples to go get him some food, and he asked the woman, would she give him some water? And he encountered barriers right there. He was hungry. He was tired. He talked to a Samaritan. And, you know, Jews had no dealings with Samaritans because they were half-breeds. They were Jewish and pagan at the same time, intermixed marriages, as you call them. So he overcame that and still continued on. You know, even though we're exhausted, we still have to prevail, and we still have to persist. And at the end of that assignment and that job, we have to be able to complete it with quality. You know, you start on empty and you wind up on full because you're persistent. You're determined to see a job done. And this is in the world. You know, you were so tired and you had that last term paper to finish before the end of the year. You just had two other finals, and now you have this 20-page paper to do that you just started yesterday, then you know you have to do it, and you know you can't slipshod that assignment. So all of us have been tired and gone on, started on empty and wound up on full. This isn't unique to Christianity, and it's not unique to just certain people. This involves everybody. And that's kind of like how I like to present topics that involve everybody, that we have at one time or another have experienced or are experiencing or definitely will experience in some way, shape, or form. You know, and it's like when you give and you go that extra mile, God sees, He records. According to His word, if you believe His word to be true, He continues on. He doesn't stop. You know, and another thing too, another maybe general rule when you're talking to people, and not just spiritual things, but in any realm, we need to be tactful. We need to be accepting. We need to be good communicators. We need to speak where people are. You know, if you're highly intelligent, don't come across with big giant words that nobody knows what they mean or ever heard of. You speak to people where they are. You speak intelligently. You speak not condescending. You speak with respect. How else will you get people to listen to you? And you don't talk the same way to everybody. I wouldn't talk to a high school chemistry class like I would a first grade science class. That would be kind of silly. And I wouldn't talk to that college English lit class like I would do a second grade reader that's barely learning to read. And I'm hoping I'm making a distinction where you're understanding what I say, because it affects everybody. So we also must be adaptable. You know, things aren't always as we plan them to be. Things come up, things change. Another thought may enter your mind. Someone may say something in response that you weren't expecting or that you can't fully accurately answer. What do you think? That's the end of it? Just walk away? No learning is done anywhere. You know, Jesus talked to everybody, but He didn't talk to Nicodemus like He talked to the woman at the well. He didn't talk to Joseph like He talked to any other of His disciples. You know, so we need to be aware. You know, Jesus called his mother Mary woman. Woman, that doesn't have anything to do with me. And in our day and time, we might think that's disrespectful. What do you call your mother woman? Well, in that culture and in that time, that was a term of endearment. So you meet people where they are. You are adaptable, and it's not one size fits all. That's no such thing. Have you ever tried something on that was one size fit all? Well, it's awful. It's either too small, too tight that you rip it, or it's too big that it's flopping all over, and rarely do people have one size fit all fit perfectly. And we have to remember, one size does not fit all when you're trying to deal with people. You don't have the same everything across the board. Well, think about it. We have first-degree murder. We have manslaughter. We have, what, involuntary manslaughter. All of those things. The person is dead nonetheless, but there's still different degrees. Does that make sense? It's like some things are the same and some things aren't. Yeah, we still have a victim here that's deceased, but not in the same way. We have self-defense. Person is still deceased nonetheless. And so if you would have something to say or something to add, I don't want to seem like I'm rambling on, but I'm trying to make a point how we should learn to deal with people. And the program opened perfectly today with how people are treated. It's in the news. It's everywhere. We notice how people are treated, and we all know how we ourselves want to be treated. And the Bible is very plain, treat others the way you want to be treated. You wouldn't want to be dogged out, but it's okay for us to dog somebody else out. You know that's what we do. We don't want to be lynched, but it's okay to lynch somebody that ain't worth nothing. One less person in the world. You know we think like that sometimes. How sad. How sad that we say we're Christians and we say we're believers and we try to destroy what we say God created, whether in life, in character, in ability. We destroy all the time instead of building up. The Bible says we should encourage and build up and edify one another. Not just the ones we like, not just the ones we live with, not just the ones we work with. You know, there was, and this was way before your time. This was way back in the day. There was a plane crash. It was a DC-4, and it was headed to Ecuador on a mission to a person, and it's a true story. Also, his name was I'm trying to think. Well, it'll come to me, but it was the Avianca airline, and this person had just become a minister, and he was going to the mission field. That's what he wanted to do all his life. All his life he wanted to be a missionary. And on his way, what happened? The plane crashed into the mountain and immediately it blew up into flames. And his name was Glenn Chambers. And he was a young minister, and he wanted to go to the mission field, and you know, that was his lifelong dream. And suddenly, his lifelong dream turned into a nightmare. And before the plane took off, he was in the airport at the terminal in Florida, and he wanted to write a little note to his mom, you know, telling her how excited he was, and he was on his way, and he finally get to fulfill his dream. And he found a piece of paper on the floor because he didn't have any. And it was an old advertisement, leaflet, you know, flyer that people give you in the airport. And on the back of it, it has the word why. So he just wrote a note to his mother, and in the time that he sent the note and a note was delivered, of course, he died because everybody died in that crash. So what happened was that when the mom finally saw that note and she saw the word why on there, you know, of course she was sad that her son was killed, but all of her questions, when she saw the word why, was haunting her. And it's like she was tormented. And you know what? There is no single truth, no single truth, not in the Bible, not in your almanacs and resources and thesauruses. There is no truth that removes or ever erases the need to ask why. Nothing can take away that question, why? Why did this happen to me? Why didn't I win the lottery? Why are my bills so high? I don't even use my air conditioner, and they use theirs all the time, and they don't pay as much as I do. Why is my water bill so high? Why do I have to pay so much groceries? Why do I have to pay income tax and I'm barely getting any money as it is from my paycheck? So the whys will be there. You cannot erase, the Bible cannot even erase the word why for all you Christian believers. The whys are full in the Bible. But the thing is, God is too kind to do anything cruel. Okay, why? God is too wise to make a mistake. Okay, why? God is too deep to explain himself. Okay, why? You know, so this young missionary's mom stopped asking why when she finally decided to believe that God was behind all of this. We talked a little bit about last week about God did all this, he did it. And I know that may be a shocker for a lot of Christians, but he did do it. He did do it. He brought sin into the world. He permitted it. I won't actually say he brought it, but he permitted it to be. He made arrangements for it to be here. He did. Bible tells us, we showed it last week. Because he has an ultimate purpose. And like all other sounds are muffled, when we claim God's absolute authority, his sovereign authority to do what he wants to do, when we come to grips with that, even the airplane crash will become deaf in our ears. We wouldn't even hear it because we know God has an ultimate purpose. And that is where the whys come in. You know, have you ever experienced some type of moment or a dream that really became a nightmare? And you're not sleeping either. A nightmare while you are alive, doing well, and awakened. In an awakened state, you have a nightmare. Has that ever happened? Of course it has. Will it ever happen again? Quite possibly. You know, dreams can become nightmares. And you have a starring role in that nightmare. What do you do? What do you say? Where do you go? Who do you blame? We've all been there. We've all been there. And probably we ask the same question, why? You know, and we look at the shattered pieces of our dream, the shattered pieces of our plans. We've been there. We've taken countless effort, hours, planning something, trying to make something happen, something good, and it's thwarted. Even plans to try to do something bad, and it's thwarted. Dreams actually can become nightmares. So there's a question. Is there an alternative to asking why? The whys will be there. The whys will be there, but is there an alternative? And what happens when our dreams turn into nightmares? What happens? Do we fall apart? Do we have plan B? What happens when plan B falls apart? What happens when we don't even have a plan B? What do? We just sit there and waste away? We just give up? Are we lost? What do we do? You know, there's a shattering discovery, and there's a time of excitement, and there's a time of explanation. There's a time of expectation. There's a time. Remember, in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to cry. There's a time to be happy. There's a time to reap. There's a time to sow. Well, I know our time is running out, but I would like to pick up there. And I would like to say thank you to our producer, to our listeners, to our callers, to all of you who spend time on this show, If These Things Be So. And I want you to think about during the week, why do you think this broadcast is entitled If These Things Be So? Let me know what you think. And this week, be good to yourself. Be good to others. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your family. Make your days full of joy and happiness, even if there is not so much happiness present. Even when there is discouragement present. Try to make yourself important to where you will experience goodness every day of the week, every day of your life. I would like to thank you. My name is Rose Hart for If These Things Be So. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. God bless you. Until next time.